Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
Elder.
Go ahead, Elder. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I had dropped from the phone. Hallelujah. Am I back online?
Yeah, you are now. You are right.
Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to our listening audience. Welcome once again to another edition of the Blog Talk, Hebrew Elders Show. Tonight, we're going to be continuing on what we have been doing for the last couple of weeks. We're challenging the men of Israel. We're challenging. We're not sugarcoating it. We're just going to bring it out raw and uncut.
Mm-hmm.
We're challenging the men because we believe our men can rise to the occasion. We know our men can do better. We're not in a great state right now as men of Israel. We have to challenge each other. It says iron sharpens iron, and that's what we plan to do. When we get a little rough and dirty when we're talking, don't think we're talking to destroy the men of Israel. We're doing it to build the men of Israel up, because we're men after all. And Yah says he's going to make us a nation of priests and kings. So we have to get in our right place. And we have wandered. We haven't been in our right place. But men of Israel, don't tune out. Listen to the whole program. Iron sharpens iron. Okay, hang in there. We're getting cut right along with you. But we're going to all build up together. So what are we talking about here? We're going to touch on he who pursues vanities. See, that's big with us, vanities. We like to wear the silver and gold, the big chains, the fancy suits. Look at these Christian preachers. Can anybody outdress a Hebrew Christian preacher? And they don't know their Hebrew. I'll say a Negro Christian preacher. Man, I don't think so. Maybe a pimp out in the old time pimps back in the 70s or 80s, you know. But nobody got nothing on these guys. I mean, from the late Eddie Long, T.D. Snakes, I mean, Jakes. I mean, you could go down the line, man. These preachers could put any pimp to shame. You know, the pimps used to ride around the long Cadillac, the bubble on top, and they get out. They have the furry coat, the furry collar around the coat. So we're big on vanity. Something about vanity. It says he who pursues vanity is filled with poverty. So you see that? It's a paradox. You think you have something. You're wearing something expensive, but you're empty on the inside. It's all vain. And Elder's going to bring that out more so in a few minutes. So what is our scripture for tonight? Our scripture is found in Proverbs 28:19. And it reads as follows. He who tills his land is satisfied with bread. So you work for it, Yah will reward you. You'll be satisfied with bread. You have substance. But flip side of that, he who pursues vanities is filled with poverty. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tonight is myself, Elder Uliah, and we have Elder Yael. And we're going to let Elder Yael go ahead and take it away right now, because this is an exciting subject. And please, men, don't tune out. You're going to miss a blessing if you do. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take it away, Elder.
All right. Hallelujah. Toda, toda, Elder. All right. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, just what the scripture says, you know, he who pursues vanity. You see, because this pursuing vanity is much more than just something that you think you want to pursue to earn wealth, you know. This is, we're talking about life itself, because I had an opportunity to talk to somebody today, in fact, you know, and this was somebody I've known quite a while before, and we just don't get to communicate that much. But this person, I remember when I used to talk to him a little bit, especially about Yahushua, they just tuned me out. They didn't want to hear anything about it, you know. And so they went head on back to the churches, the church that they go to, and that's their loyalty. That's where what they pursue, been pursuing all of this time since the last time we had a serious conversation about a year, two or three years ago, you know. So, you know, scripture is correct about this poverty thing if you pursue vanity, because I talked to them today, and we got to talking, and so we started talking about maybe a little bit about the signs of the times, you know, what's going on now. And just so happened to mention the 400-year prophecy that is given us that Abraham received in Genesis 15. And this person, you know what? They didn't even know what I was talking about. It's like, what, wow, what are you talking, you know? I said, yeah, you know, the time is coming up on the end of that time period. You know, we were brought here as people into this country back in August of 1619, you know, and August of 2019, that's going to be the completeness of that 400 years time frame that y'all spoke to Abraham about. First of all, they didn't know what I was talking about when I was speaking of Abraham. But yet, now, they are big-time churchgoers, you know. They got their pastor and all of that they listen to. But they here don't know, have not heard anything about what's going on concerning that time period that Yah spoke to Abraham about. And the more we talk, the more and quieter this individual got. It's like all of a sudden they didn't have nothing to say no more. They just was listening to him. Wow. You know, it's like they don't even know what's going on in this world right now. And so so far as I'm concerned, you know, that was kind of like it reminded me of what the word does say when we look at it in even here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read this because this just got me really, you know, teed up today. I just couldn't believe that, you know, they're such a church goer, so dedicated to their church, but they know nothing about what the scripture is saying in prophecy that has spoke to us. It says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm start reading at verse 1. It says, now, brothers, as to the times and the seasons, you do not need to be written to. You see? You don't need to be written to about that. For you yourselves know very well that the day of Yah comes as a thief in the night. You see? So you're walking around here totally ignorant of what has been written in this word, in this scripture here. Our history, totally know nothing. Knew nothing. The person didn't know nothing about the names of our ancestors when they were brought. We were brought over here, and how they changed them to these pagan names and so forth. The slave master's name, you know, that all of that was like to them something. You know, just well, what you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. What? You know? But anyway. And that's why I say that reminded me of this scripture here. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. You see? They shall not escape. It says here, but you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Okay? And another thing we touched on when we were talking today, when I was talking to this individual, what really got me to contact them, because they sent me some kind of a little text message that said, Happy New Year. And here I am saying, we haven't even talked in a long time. But yet they do remember to text me and tell me Happy New Year. So what I decided to do now, I got this text about 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, really the first of the month, you know, this month. And I decided on purpose to wait before I get back in touch with this individual because, you know, I already knew pretty much how their mind was thinking, where it was set. So I figured I'll give it a little time first. And then we'll get together so that I can explain and go over some scriptures showing how the scriptures tell us what time the new year is, okay? And so, you know, I was able to at least get them to recognize just by looking at nature itself, okay, that the new year doesn't start until at least the spring of the year. Things starts to renewing itself. The grass starts to becoming green again. The tree limbs starts to getting back green on the trees, okay? So you don't see, I see you don't see none of that stuff when in the dead winter, okay? All you get is short days in the winter. You know, you get all these hella days that we, you know, go through during that time of the year, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, then New Year, and all of that, you see, and which is something that was set up by Satan himself, the fallen angel, as a rebellion against Yah, okay? And I tried to kind of go over some of these things a little bit so that she could be open, her mind can be open, at least start thinking and realize that, you know, you somehow Satan is still in the business of shutting the eyes of the people that are going to these churches. And like you almost said, these pimp-looking preachers walking around with the best-looking tie, you know, a shirt, a suit on, looking better than any pimp, you know, and got these people that are following them, their eyes are completely closed. I mean, they are absolutely blind, okay? That's why Yah is telling us here in this scripture right here, he says, "For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." You see? Satan can't blind us with his lies, okay? With his deception that he's doing to those who refuses to listen and understand who Yah and Yahushua is, you see? Because that's the reason I put it that way, because I know this individual. We have had discussions, and they flat out rejected it, you see? And now, here it is now, 2-3 years later, they flat out in total dark, absolute darkness when it comes down to this spiritual understanding that Yah expects us to have now, okay? And so, again, this individual has become completely poor. Poverty has come down to pure deep poverty, okay, spiritually, okay? And so that's what we're up against. And it also, you know, that's why I want to go ahead and look at this scripture here, even in 1 Corinthians, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, okay? And I'm just going to get started reading up a little bit here around verse 14, because this is what the devil is doing to the people out there that are still pursuing this church stuff, okay? Okay, therefore, verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "Therefore, my beloved ones, flee from idolatry." Flee from it, okay? And that's what I want the people to understand. You're flat out being an idolater if you're going to continually to walk and follow these pimp preachers, you know, in out there in those churches. You need, it's time to come, it's been time to come out of that stupidity. I mean, you know, that's the worst thing I can see a person doing, is allowing themselves to be deceived by somebody is dumber than they are. You know, they pursuing vanity. You know, it says, "I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessings which we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of the Messiah? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing of the body of Messiah?" See? "Because there is one bread. We who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Okay? You know, look at the word, what Yahushua said, John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Okay? He said, "I am that bread that cometh down." So, hallelujah. 18 says, "Look at Israel after the flesh. are not those who eat of the slaughtering sharers in the slaughtered place? What then do I say? That an idol is of any value? Or that which is slaughtered to idols is of any value? It ain't of no value. That's why I say you become completely spiritual poverty. Okay, poverty stricken. Okay, you follow these people out here in these churches. It says here, verse 20, no. But what the nation or what the Gentiles or what these white folks are leading you into, as I'm concerned, because they're the ones when we came over here, you know, this is the junk that they were doing when we were brought over here. Okay? They slaughter to demons. Okay? Ever since we've been here. Crooked Gentiles, you know, that's what they've been slaughtering to. Worshiping demons. And not to Yah. And I do not wish you to become sharers with demons. Okay? Yeah, you know, he's telling us right there. You know, get away from those that kind of stuff. But some of our Brews, Hebrew people, won't listen for nothing. It's like, no, I'm so caught up into this white supremacy Jesus worship until I don't even want to hear nothing you said. Because, you know, Jesus is my God. You see what I'm saying? That's what's in their head, you see? And, boy, it's going to take prayer, fasting and praying for these people to maybe understand, start getting it, you know? It says, no, but what the nation slaughtered, they slaughtered to demons and not to Yah, and I do not wish you to become sharers with demons. You are not able to drink the cup of the master and the cup of demons. You know, the reason why you ain't able, because you will starve to death. You will become so poor, poverty-stricken, until you just would flat out die spiritually. You will just drop off the scene. You are not able to partake of the table of the master, okay, and of the table of demons. You see, do we provoke the master to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All is permitted me, but not all do profit. All is permitted me, but not all build up. Let no one seek his own, but each one that of his of the other. Okay? So, you know, this is just trying to touch on something because we could see how important it is that we don't turn to this idol worship. Allow ourselves to just all of a sudden ignore when we hear some truth. You know, scripture says search the truth to see if they are so. Okay? Somebody come to you with something, and if it's scriptural and it lines up with this word, you know, you have an obligation to check it out. And what is right is true. You are obligated to follow that. Walk in the light of his word. Okay, because otherwise you will become poverty stricken, following vanity, pursuing vanity. You see, and so you know again, this kind of gets me really really teed off a little bit because you know when I speak to somebody that I know and I know that they got common sense, should have common sense. I thought they had common sense, you know, and we speak in the word of Yah. Now this time, at this late dating game, they don't know nothing. It's like, I never heard of that. You know, what are you talking about? That lets us know. I'm saying this too because those of us who have been enlightened, been awakened, we got work to do still. I mean, it ain't time to lay down and get lazy. We still got to go. We still got to teach this word, this truth to our brothers and sisters out there, because I'm telling you, we still got Satan out there on his job, blinding our people. That stuff is still going on, you see? And the only way we're going to be able to combat that is us just get our scripture open in their face and let's talk about it. Show them from the pages of scripture and pray that their eyes be open. So hallelujah, I'm going to stop here. I'll get back with the other stuff here later. But in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and stop and let you come on up, Elder. All right? All right, so Elder Eulalia, go ahead.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Elder. You say the brother didn't know nothing about the 400-year prophecy.
I mean, it's like he was just blunt.
You might as well been talking Greek to him. You know, he probably would have understood that better.
That's right.
It's amazing. And he probably sit up in the church every Sunday, and you know, and and it looks like scriptures just get further and further away from him the more he sits in those pews. But
that's right. Jesus.
Hallelujah. We hope our brother's listening tonight, and we hope he jumps on board. Hope he jumps on board this truth train. Elder, I'm just going to briefly recap just a little bit, and I mean brief, what we kind of covered the last couple of weeks, really narrowing in on our men. Yes. Israel, the whole assembly, is out of whack, out of order. We're trying to get there. But our men, we have to separate this because Yah says the man is the head of the woman. Messiah is the head of the man. So let's deal with level we're on right now, the man. This is some of the condition that our men are in. I wasn't trying to be comical when I was reading off these are true online channels and online platforms that some of our men folk has. I told you about the guy in Russia. He's saying and I'm just paraphrasing, you know, what their channel's about and what they're saying. This guy in Russia, black guy, American black guy. Come on to Russia and get all the Russian women you like, you know, to have sex with. That's, you know, he's encouraging our men to fornicate. And sometimes he has a picture. I think he's on YouTube. He might be on Facebook, too, but I know he's on YouTube. Sometimes he has a picture. I think it's Philco. I shouldn't even try to think of the name, but I think it's Philco or something. He brags about the Russian women, and he has a picture sometime of him and some prostitute-looking Russian women, you know, he's hugged up with. Some guys in China asking women on the street, I know you remember this, they're saying, do you like black men? I'm not going to imitate the Chinese voice again, but, you know, the women were just startled, like, who is this black man asking? Standing before me with this microphone, and why is he asking me, do I like black men? So the insecurity of our men, I don't understand. Okay. Then we have another man. Let's see. He says, all the women like us. I quoted him. I forgot his channel. He said, all the women like us. Talking about black men. We can date, have sex with, fornicate with all the women. Now, you know, just these little things that I've been saying, do that sound like a grown, mature man talking, or do it sound more like a child, adolescent?
Yeah,
speaking
like
that kind of. Sound like a child. Our men, some of our men were childlike. You know, Yah says we're sottish. I wrote down what sottish means. Okay, it means stupid, but it also means something else closer to what we're talking about tonight. It means simple, and it means childlike. And that's how our men are sounding to the world. But you can't tell them anything. They sound, okay, stupid. That's the strongest definition of sottish. But also means more subtle definitions are simple and childlike. And that's what we do. Oh, they like us. They like us. The other women like us. Okay. And we think fornicating makes us a big man. And we're gonna bust that wide open, what's going on that our brothers, our Hebrew, our Israelite brothers, think these women all of a sudden just explosion. All of a sudden women look around and say, oh, there's black men available. Let's go after black men. Yeah. No, this is a sorry, black brother. Sorry, my Israelite brother. This ain't you. This is a well-orchestrated plan by people who actually have power in this world. We don't have power. This is an orchestrated plan. It ain't your good looks. It ain't your sexual prowess. It ain't your charm. This is a well-conceived, demonic plan, and you're just playing your part that they gave you that you don't even know about. You think you could have access to all these women if this wasn't planned? I mean, they have. You can see the cops have no trouble shooting you. They could go around hauling off, just shooting all of you who walking around with other nations of women, white women, Hispanic, Asian. No, this was a well thought out plan. We're going to get into that later. This dating thing, we talked about dating. How that was a Eurocentric concept. It was not that type of behavior. It was not indigenous to our people. That was not indigenous to our culture. Dating as we know dating today, and dating pretty much all dating does include is fornication, premarital sexual relations outside of the marriage covenant. That was not part of our culture. You picked up another man's culture, a demonic culture, black man. But you're riding with it, boy. You're riding hard. You're riding high with it. And you think you're doing something. You're going in direct opposition to Yah's words. He says, learn not the way of the heathen. Don't learn their culture. We learned it, and we're trying to pass him up at it. Okay. Out of all this, the black man, the so-called black man, we know where Israelites, the so-called black man is still dead last in every meaningful statistical category in modern society. What are those? Some of those categories are economically, politically, educational, and otherwise. And the gap is getting larger. The technology gap is getting larger. The economic gap is getting larger. And quicker. It's getting larger quicker. They're proud. We're proud as long as we can screw around with another woman. We're proud. What the Proverbs 16:19 says. Yah, these are some of the things Yah hates, and these things are an abomination. Yah hates a proud look. Boy, do we got a proud look. We think we're the man of the hour because we could get some meaningless sex and fornication from women of other races. And we wonder why our Creator said we are sottish, stupid, simple, and childlike. That was some of the recap, Elder. But what do we want to talk about today? We're going to stay a little bit on the men. And women, you might be enjoying this, but we're going to get you. So we're going to address the daughters of Zion. And we hope you don't tune out. Okay? All right, Elder. Now, bringing it into the current time, I'm going to read a scripture. I had mentioned last week that we're not wired like the rest of the nation. You know, when the way we were put together, let's say you build a boat and I build a boat, your boat might go by the element, the wind, the waves and the wind. You build a sailboat. I build a motorboat. Okay, my boat is going to take to the sea a little different from yours. Might be a little faster than yours. But if things are getting rough, your boat might actually maneuver better than mine. because you're dependent on the natural elements. Mine might run out of gas. See? Because I'm dependent on artificial elements. Well, they're both boats, but they're wired different. And they behave different. They handle the sea different. We're different from other nations. See, we always wanted to be the same. Way back in Saul's time, they made him king, a man who liked to consult with witches because he looked the part. You know, he looked to the flesh. You know, when Yah was pleased with him and said, I'm your king, that wasn't good enough. See, look at the other nations. All of them have a man over them. We want a man over us. We don't want you. God gave them what they wanted. Israelites, we are wired different. You wonder why the Warren Buffett, the Bill Gates, the Rothschild, you wonder why they succeed in their way, their evil way, these demonic, evil people, evil men, powerful in the world. You wonder why it seems like everything they put their hands to do, financially speaking, it seems to prosper. We go to do it. We have good intentions. Our intentions might be pure. We might have a good motive. We might want to use the money to help rebuild our neighborhood. You know, have good plans. But it seems like it just don't work out, especially without Yah. See, when we don't put Yah first in this world, when we don't put Yah first, our endeavors fail. That's the way Yah wired us. He wired us to depend on him. And I know some of you don't like it. Some of you don't even believe in Yah. You don't even believe in a creator. You want to become just like the so-called white man, the one that you're supposed to hate and despise. You want to be just like him. Because the Bible said a fool has said in his heart, there is no Yah. There is no creator. So his universities and colleges, his institutions of higher learning is graduating atheists. Maybe they came in there with a little belief, but they leave and, okay, I believe we come from a monkey and we, you know, everybody come out like robots. Hey, there's no creator. Okay, now I can do anything I want now. You know. So that's what black intellectualism is aspiring to be. They already started. There's more black atheists now than there's probably ever been in the history of this country, and they're proud of it. They mock and talk down on those of us who still believe, those of us who still know that there's a creator. They talk down on us. Look at us as old fogies. We're fools. That's what's been holding us back. Well, where is your intellect taking us? So we want to be like other people, even if it comes down to turning our back on our Creator. See, but nothing, the way we were made, the way we were designed as a people, we were designed to depend on Yah. And if we don't put him front center, going to eventually come to naught. Okay? So, a simple verse, John 15 and 5, he says, Yahushua will speak and say, without me, you can do nothing. Without Yah's spirit, you can do nothing. I'm going to read in the Amplified to expound on it a little bit more. In the Amplified, it reads, let me go to the Amplified. Here we go. It says, John 15 and 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. That's us, the branches. The one who remains in me, he says, the one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. See, that's when our endeavors will be successful. That's when they'll bear fruit. When we remain in Yah and he remains in us. It says, for otherwise, it says, apart from me, otherwise, that is, cut off from Vital Union with me. If you're cut off from me, he's saying, look at that. He's saying, if you're cut off from me, you can do nothing. He's basically saying that you cannot succeed if you're cut off from me. But you see, in the other nations, no, it looks like they're succeeding. They're following the plan that Yah has set in motion. See, Yah has built vessels. He told us he's built vessels for honor, and he's built vessels for dishonor. So you want to be a vessel for dishonor, like these evil, wicked men, who's getting their rewards now, their temporary reward. What did it say? It says about Moses, he didn't want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He rather suffered with his people than enjoy the pleasures of this world for a season, because that's all it is, a season. I don't care how many hearts and transplants, new livers, how many times they kill our children and sell their body parts off to these rich bastards. You know what? One day, I don't care if they got 15 hearts, one day one of them going to fail and they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it ain't going to last forever. Yeah, they doing their sorcery. Where's all of our missing children? You know, a lot of our missing children, we never see them again. The ones that are missing, whether they're on a milk carton or not, these children are being sacrificed, a lot of them. A lot of them being sacrificed in these demonic rituals, and then a lot of them, they get their parts taken, organ parts. A lot of them go into pedophilia, all kind of filthy stuff. So you got these rich devils in their 90s, and some of them in their 100s, and they're trying to hold on to this demonic air they're breathing. Just for their filthy flesh could breathe a few more pumps of air. But it doesn't matter how long it is, one day they're going to die. And then you'll see if their life is successful. So, Israelite man, stop looking across the fence. Stop looking over on the other side of the tracks and wanting to be like the other nations. Looking at how they live and how they go about things, and you want it too. You even want their women. A lot of you, the sickness has gotten so strong. A lot of you, the woman, the image you look at in the mirror and see a woman who looks like you, you think she's unattractive. The image that look like you, you think is unattractive. But then an image that looks nothing like you, you think is attractive. That's how sick, deluded your mind has become. Stay with us, brothers. Don't turn us off yet. You're just getting sharpened. You sharpen us, we sharpen you. Iron sharpens iron. Beautiful black women has become ugly in your sight. But she's your image. Fooling yourself to believe that you look good, and she's your image. She's your mother, your sister, your daughter, your aunt, your grandma. But all of a sudden, a stranger with this pale, flimsy skin looks better. And I'm not saying different races of people look good or bad. I'm just saying no other man is saying that his woman looks bad except the Israelite man. I'm not going to get any deeper than that, because some brothers are so sensitive they can't take it. But I want to go back to where you're wired. I'm an electrician. I want to go back to how we're wired. We're not wired like the other nations. Why do you think we haven't succeeded? Why do you think we haven't turned the tables economically? in this land. You got Asians come over here. They're a smaller minority than us. How many Asians you see working in your company? I work for a big corporate company. You don't hardly see any Asians. Not because they don't want to hire them, because the Asians don't want to work for them. They want to work for themselves.
Dang.
They have their own businesses. They have their own community. They marry amongst their own. Spend their dollar amongst their own. Their dollar turns over so many times before it leaves that community. Ours don't even turn over one full time. We don't even have a business community. Why? Because we're still in sin. The same reason we let another nation subdue us, because we're the mightier man physically, we let the weaker man physically subdue us because of sin. Y'all said you will have no power before your enemy. We'd be powerless. We had a few slavery votes, but they all came to naught. In other words, they didn't do any good. We're still in the same boat. We're still at the bottom. We're at the bottom, and we're proud of it. Okay, I'm going to try to read these notes. You're thinking you're doing something. Push your chest out. You're dating other women. You're having relations with strange women. Do you know that even this foolish endeavor, you're being played, black man? You know, you think you got access to the white women finally, and maybe Asian women, Hispanic women. Do you know you're being played? Do you think all these commercials see come on TV these days, they always show interracial couple? A lot of times they show the black woman, the white man. But I think even today, I think it's more so they show the black man and the white woman. And all of these different things. You hardly never see two black people together on TV anymore. That's the funny thing. Do you think that's coincidence? Do you think you made that come about because of your might and your, you know, you just look so good that they just say, well, we just give up. Just give them to the black man. No, this was by design. You're being played. The NWO, the New World Order, ran by Satan's chosen people, the synagogue of Satan. This is their plan. Even some of the white Anglo-Saxons, you go on some of their online channels, they even know about this. They know they're more upset with the synagogue of Satan, the Ashkenazi Jews, because they run everything, especially in the media. The media is where you're hypnotized by sorcery. They know you're being played. See, because their goal is to create two classes of people, a working class, or you could say a slave class, a labor class, and that's called the brown class. It's the browning of the nation. That's what they're doing. They want to brown out all the nations. They're going to keep their color. That one group of elite people, the synagogue of Satan, they're going to keep their whiteness. That's how it's going to be. They're going to be the controlling class, the elite class. The rest are going to be the browning out class. The whites are not going to be white anymore. They're going to be browned out. The blacks are not going to be black anymore. They're going to lighten up. They're going to be browned out. It's the browning of the nations. That's going to be your mark of a slave. Go on some of these white, what you call white supremacist websites. They're already talking about it. They already know about this agenda. It's just going to be two. This is their plan. Of course, Yah has got his plan. And if you're in Yah, you don't have to worry about this. But for our ignorant brothers and our brothers who are full of pride, that's what they're working on. That's why you see all of this amalgamation of the race has been pushed. It's by design. Don't get your pride. You don't have no power. You don't have own any network. You can't promote this if you wanted to. They're promoting it. They have the money. They own the networks. They're promoting it. You have very little to do with it. You're just an ignorant pawn. And you're going along and you're puffing up your chest. You're being led to the slaughter. The Pied Piper is blowing the pipe and you're just marching right to the guillotine. You know, you're just marching right to the hot oven, however they're going to, you know, destroy you. Right to the labor camps. That's their sinister purpose. But all we doing, we going along, pride has blinded us. So we're a nation right now of whoremongers. And this started, Elder, this started way back with our patriarch, Judah. Judah was a big whoremonger. And I'm going to read this real quick, Elder, and I'm going to turn it over to you. This is our man. This is our man. We wonder why our Israelite brothers, our black brothers, just want to have sex, fornicate forever, don't want to commit, especially to their own Hebrew sisters. Don't want to commit under the covenant of marriage. Look at how our patriarch was. This is Judah. This is in Genesis 38. And it came to pass at that time, starting at verse 1, that Judah, Judah, they say we're Judah, that Judah went down from his brother. And listen to this whoremonger. I mean, tell you, this is raw and uncut. We're not going to try to sugarcoat nobody, even our patriarch. Listen to this whoremonger. Judah went down from his brethren and turned in to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hirah. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived. And listen to this. And bare a son. And he called his name Er. That's the eldest son. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she called his name Onan. That's the second son. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was Shazid when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for That's the oldest boy. His firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, now, you know, they say that children will suffer the iniquities of the parents, third, fourth generation. But look what's starting to happen to Judah. Look, and his firstborn, was wicked in the sight of Yah. And Yah slew him. Okay, got him out of there. He had a wife. Yah still got him out of there. Wicked young man. And Judah said unto Onan, that's the second son, you know the tradition, you're supposed to go into your brother and raise up a child for your brother. And he said, go, he told Onan, go unto thy brother's wife, and she's a widow now, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, so there go that pride. See, we have the same two things working in them that's working in our brothers today, lust and pride. See, he didn't mind getting in the sack with her, but he said, you know what, I'm not going to give her no child. You know, I don't want no commitment because that's going to be, look, my brother is going to get the honor for that. I'm just raising up seed for him. That's going to be, my brother is going to get the honor for that. He didn't want it. That's his pride. So, look. Past when he went into her, he did the sex part. His brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, pulled out, lest that he should give seed to his brother. He didn't want to give nothing to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased Yah, wherefore Yah slew him. So Yah got rid of him. Now he's down to one son left. Man, so, you know, Judah is reaping a lot of stuff here. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Salah. He's talking about the young one. Give my young son a chance to grow up, and we'll send him on to you. Till Salah, my son, be grown. And this is what he said in his mind. He said that to her, but this is what he's thinking in his mind. He says, for he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. See, so he had no intention of sending the youngest boy. He said, this woman, I don't know. Everybody have sex with her is dying. I'm not sending my youngest there. Yeah. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. So he, you know, he ran a game on Tamar. He didn't have no intentions to give him Selah. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite.
Mm-hmm.
Tamar, she didn't forget. It was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And look what she's doing. She's getting slayed. Mm-hmm. And she put her widow's garment off from her and covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. So she knew that Judah had played a game on her. So look with Judah, with his lustful self. Look what happened. When Judah saw her, this is his own daughter-in-law, but he don't know it. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot. Okay, Judah, you are a patriarch. You don't believe messing around with prostitutes. Judah don't care. Because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee. Let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? She said, no, you got to give me something that I can hold on to until I can get that sheep. And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet and thy bracelet and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it to her and came in unto her. But there you go, had his sex, even at his age, younger woman. And she conceived by him, got her pregnant. And the guy didn't care to get her pregnant. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil and laid her veil, you know, off to the side and put on the garment of her widowhood. So she changed back into Lois Lane. She, you know, she changed uniforms. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But he found her not. She had cut out. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where's the harlot? Where's the prostitute that was openly by the wayside? But listen what the men said. And they said, there was no harlot in this place. See, because they know that she wasn't a harlot. But so lustful, he looked at her as a harlot. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, okay, let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And look, watch his arrogance. Hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. By whoredom. See, she's with child by hoeing. But she had to hoe with somebody, right? She didn't hoe by herself. Mm-hmm. So they say, man, she's with child by whoredom. She got an illegitimate bastard child on the way. And, man, Judah could start getting hot with temper, his temper. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. Man, this dude wants to kill her. almost sound like King David. Remember when Naaman came and said, you know, what if one man only had one little sheep and another had a whole bunch of herds, and the one with a whole bunch came and took that little one that this poor man had? What would you do? And David said, pray to him, let's kill him. And Naaman said, that's you. You the man. You did that.
Mm-hmm.
And David just got this dumb look on his face, you know. Okay, and so same thing happened here. Man, these Israelite brothers, I'm telling you, man, they get in trouble by their whoredom. So he called her a whore and everything and said, let her be burnt. He wants to kill her now. When she was brought forth, so they bring her forth to him, she sent to her father-in-law saying, look what she's going to say. By the man who these are, am I with child? And she said, discern. She said, discern. I pray thee, whose are these, the signet, the bracelet, and the staff? Uh-oh. And Judah, with a dumb look on his face, and Judah acknowledged them and said, she has been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son. See, he held back, played a game, and he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb, and it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took it and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zara. So there's two more was born unto Judah. And like he said, they were born out of whoredom, you know. But who was the whore? Who was the whoremonger?
Sounds like him.
Judah. It sounds like our men today. You know, we talk about the daughters of Zion, and the daughters of Zion deserve the talk because they're playing the harlot. But our men, it takes two to tangle. They're playing the whoremonger. They're playing the role of whoremonger, and they're not seeing their fault. Our men do not want to commit. They do not want to commit to marriage. They do not want to confine their sexual activity to the covenant of marriage. They want to go out sowing their wild oats, fornicate, whoremonger. That's what you're doing. You're fornicating. And we read that scripture over and over, Elder, the last few weeks, where it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, do not be deceived. These sins, you do these sins, and fornication was like the top sin. These people who do these sins will not inherit the kingdom of Yah. You're not going to make the kingdom if you're practicing that. You have to do a full 180 and repent. And you can't just keep premeditating and saying, well, I'm going to do it a little bit more. No, that's Christianity. Falsehood. The Bible says, today when you hear my voice, it's talking about right now, harden not your heart. You don't want supposed to keep on sinning when you know the truth. Do you know he even winked at when we were in our ignorance about who we should call him, when we called him Jesus Christ, when we called him Lord and all this. When we had a sincere heart, our Heavenly Father winked at that. But it also said in that same chapter, I believe that's Acts chapter 17, it also says, but there will be a time when Yah command all men to come to repentance. When is that? When we know the truth. So we can't know the truth and still keep calling him JC and think there's going to be no repercussions. No, when you know better, you do better. So when we were in the days of our ignorance, he forbeared with us. He winked at those things. So, brother, Israelite brother, when you're in your ignorance and your ignorant pride and your ignorant lust, Yah gave you mercy. He wasn't taking pleasure in your sin, but he's giving you mercy. But now it's time to repent. See, mm-hmm. you know why? Because things are kind of wrapping up right now. We're already in 2019, and you already talked about that 400 year. And you still got brothers. You know, they might know a little bit about the 400 year elder. They might not be like the brother you talked to today, but their actions are just like they're as ignorant as that brother, because they're still out whoremongering and, you know, carousing and everything, just like it's, you know, like they have the whole world, the whole nothing but time in front of them, and they think Yah is going to bless their sin. Yah is not going to bless your sins. My brothers, we're wired different. We're not wired to get away with things. Why do you think we can't get away with things that the other nations can? You know, other people, they get stopped by a cop for a taillight being out. He, at most, he write them a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
We could get our life snuffed out just by a traffic stop. It's not right, but Yah says, He never wired us like the other nations. It's not fair. We're on an uneven deck. If we obey, it'll be uneven for them. See, it's uneven for us now in our disobedience. But if we obey, it'll be uneven for them. Because he say, I'll put you high above all the nations.
Okay.
See, but we don't want that. We want to be like them so much that we don't even want to get in our proper place, which would be above all the nations. To be that nation of priests and kings. Not whoremonger no more, but walking as a representative and ambassador to Yah, to the other nation. Yah gave us that high office, but we don't even want to walk in that. We want to walk like a common whore, a common whoremonger. We want to be like the other nation. And then when Yah says, okay, I'm going to whip you with many stripes, we don't like that. We cry foul. It's not fair. We're not wired like the other nation, my Israelite brothers and sisters. You're not going to get away with the other nations get away with. They're going to get theirs at the end. We're getting ours now. It's time to do a full 180 and repent. If you want the unfairness to go against them, and you're the favored one, you have to repent. You have to do it Yah's way, because outside of Yah's way, there's nothing but failure for the Israelites. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. So, Elder, I'm going to yield this time back to you. Hallelujah.
All right, Elder. I tell you, I was enjoying what you were speaking about there, because you know, we see it. We can see it right there in the Word, and these things are there for our learning too. You know, Yah allowed them to be written down. That's why we cannot ignore them. We have to look at these things and take heed, learn from them. You know, because just what you were just talking about, you can see here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Tells us, verse 1, and it shall be when all these words come upon you, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before you, and you shall bring them back to your heart among all the nations where Yah, your father, drives you. You see, aren't we still out here among all of the nations where he has driven us? We're right here now.
Yes, indeed.
Sitting here. And he tells us, though, but what would happen? And you shall, let me just read, let's just skip up a couple of verses, few verses here. In verse 7, it says, and Yah shall put all these curses on your enemies, on those who hate you, who persecuted you. That's if you turn back to him with all your heart, okay, with all your might, okay, and love him, love Yah, you see, be obedient to his word. Then he's going to turn these curses up off of you, take them off of you and put them on those who hate you, those cops out there that are shooting us, killing us whenever they feel good, that they want to. feel like they want to, you know, and get away with it, find themselves innocent. Out of anything they do to us, they go right up into court and find themselves innocent. Just with the case of George Zimmerman, you know, he's still walking around here after he done murdered Trayvon Martin, you know. The world know that boy was murdered by this clown. But yet but you know what? Yah is not mocked. Vengeance is his, you see? So the guy, he think he even got away, but he hasn't gotten too far at all, okay? But as opposed to when we're talking about all these different situations with all of these different women that our brothers are going after and thinking it's a big deal, another thing they need to remember in Joshua, let's look at Joshua, the 23rd chapter here. And it tells us here, let me start around maybe the 11th verse. And Yah shall diligently guard, you shall diligently guard yourself to love Yah, your father, okay? But if you do turn back at all, okay, and cling to the remnant of these nations, you see, same nations we're out here in now, pretty much. These that remain among you and intermarry with them and go into them and they to you. Look what Yah has to say about that. Know for certain that Yah, your father, shall no longer drive these nations out from before you, and they shall be snares, okay, and traps to you. You see? And a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land, which Yah, your father, has given you. So, you know, Yah made it plain and clear. You know, we should love the daughters of Zion, cling to them, you know. Don't turn around all of a sudden, you know. I mean, what would I think? What would I be like? I'd be stupid, you know. Because, you know, and that's what we see out here, because I know my mother, you know, hey, I loved it. Her dark skin, you know, her beautiful, dark, perfect skin that she had. I mean, you know, and so, you know, how can I turn around and go after this pale skin? And I know for a fact, all you got to do is give them to age 40 and just start crawling around 45, 40, 50. And take a look at them now as opposed to what they did look like 20 years ago. You see?
I don't think you have to wait till 40.
You may not. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you something, because I was you know what? I was in my office one time, and this Gentile woman came in, and we all got to talking about our age, you know. And I guess I was a problem. Maybe I was around 40, maybe 42, 43 years old at that time. And she came in there, and it was another Asian woman in there too. And she got to asking us how old we are, because she noticed how young our skin looked and how fresh we looked. And so she was curious, because she looked like she was about to go to her grave, you know. Literally, she looked at like she was old enough, you know, and to be well-aged person. And when she asked us our age and we told her, and I believe I was older than her, and boy, but that girl sit there literally and start crying. I mean, she just started crying. Somebody, it ain't fair. It just ain't fair. She was weeping, you know, because we didn't have our skin wasn't all wrinkled, you know, and we didn't have all of this, these aches and pains or whatever. I don't know what she had done to herself, and you know, to cause herself to just go down that path. But you know, that wasn't my business, because of course I'm just her, you know, somebody to try to help her get out of these pains that she's in. But you know, just the idea, these things, you know, we got to understand. Yah, what Yah says, he means, and what he means, he means what he says, and he says what he means. You know. And we got to understand that, because if he tells us a certain thing is going on with people, we can't ignore that. If he tells us these people are unclean, we can't ignore that, and we can't just say, oh, you're all right. But, you know, when you think about it, look how they eat. You know, look what kind of food they eat. everything that Yah says is unclean, they done turn it to a delicacy. You know, it's one of the highest priced meats out there that you can buy. Your shrimp, your pig, you know, your catfish, all of that stuff. That's what they're selling at the highest price. And we dummy gonna go in there and follow that. That won't work. Because, again, like you said, there was a time in our ignorance. Y'all went on that. Because I remember, I used to eat shrimp, you know, lobster. You know, that was
crab.
Crab. You see what I'm saying? I just didn't know any better, you know. But the moment Yah sent somebody in my life to warn me about this stuff, now, it's just the way it went for me. I was told that certain things wasn't clean. I shouldn't eat. So when she told me that, the person that showed it to me, they didn't show it to me from scripture, the pages of scripture. So I kind of just brushed over it, heard what she said, and I just went on and knew about it. But one day, y'all had me to open up this book, you see? And when I finally got to Leviticus chapter 11 and start reading what's clean and unclean, it hit me like a rock hit me so hard in the head. I never forget. I kept on saying she was right. I kept saying, wondering why wouldn't I pay her no attention? She was right. I kept repeating it, and so, you know, I immediately. In fact, that was a day that I had went out and bought some pork chop and stuff, right there, bacon and stuff, in my refrigerator. And I was living with my younger brother, never forget, and right there in Chicago. Man, I went in the refrigerator that day, took that stuff out, and put it in their garbage, you know. And I never would forget when I did that. My brother, he couldn't believe it. He didn't want to hear nothing I said. I told him I'm getting this information from here, from the scripture, because, you know, him and I both grew up on our parents, and they made sure that we at least learned the scriptures, you know, learn how to read the scriptures, and we had to sit at the table when we were at home and study the scripture together, you know, under my parents. And so I tried to tell him that because I figured, you know, I could show it to him in the scripture because we both know how we were raised. And he still went crazy on me and went out and told everybody that I have gone crazy for throwing away the food, you know, in the house. I said,
most of the people are going to side with him.
Yes. As a matter of fact, my older brother, he did the exact that. He came over there and sided with my young brother. And, it was a mess because he going to sit there and bring some bacon. Because me and my younger brother was kind of sharing an apartment. We had an apartment together. And my older brother came over there, and he going to come over there and bring his bacon and everything. So I said, okay, well, you guys don't have fun. Enjoy, because I ain't going to eat it. This is why. I said, this here it is, why. You know, y'all go ahead and eat it. And so that's what, you know, I had to go through with them until y'all just basically showed me the light and showed me and drew me right on out of there, you know, made a way for me to get out of that city, get away from them, you know. That was the thing, one of the things that brought a division between us because of the clean and unclean food.
I'm thinking that scripture, Yehoshua said he didn't come to make peace, he come to bring division. You know, set at odds, you know, the mother and father, you know, the son and daughter, you know, so, and right in their own household. Because it says
that's
a man's foes, he's going to be day of his own household amongst his own kindred.
That's right. That's you know. So some of us had to experience this thing with our relatives, you know. And once we realized, I realized it had become a point of contention between us, you know. Naturally, I gave up. I said, look, hey, man, you just take this place by yourself. You can have it. You can have all of the furniture in here and everything. It's all yours, okay? Because I packed my bags, and I never will forget, packed my bags in a box, tied it all down, and put it on a Greyhound bus. went all the way out to Oklahoma. So I'm just saying, you know, these are the things some of us experienced, you know. And so, but now, you know, when we look at it now, we see that was Yah separating us, you know, bringing, you know, he's actually separating us so that we can kind of really figure it out for ourselves since we couldn't have come to no agreement, you see. But, you know, we did. We figured it out. And so, man, but, you know, when we look at these things are serious, and we can't once we know, hear the word, and, you know, like you just said, harden not your heart, okay? You know, don't harden yourself and get to the point where you just don't care no more. You're not going to be obedient to his word. Because, again, we're coming up on time that look like things about to wrap up for us, you know? And so with that, okay, I guess we could get ready to close this on out tonight, Elder, unless you got, you know, another round you want to go through with. But
I think we'll mm-hmm. go ahead and close it out tonight. We'll save okay. some for next week.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, then. Well, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Again. Yeah, we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite nation, and we welcome all to come in. And if you have a comment, you can always point one on your phone, and we'll see a question mark in the room here. And we'll be glad to bring you on in and let you ask the question or talk about what you want to share with us, okay? So hallelujah, hallelujah. And we'll be here. Our phone number, if you want to call us, is 657-383-1495. Okay, that's 657-383-1495. We'll be glad to have you to be, you know, in with us to ask questions about anything, okay? So hallelujah, especially anything you hear us talking about, okay? So with that being said, we'll be here again on next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So hallelujah, hallelujah. So, okay. So, Elder, if that's it, we're going to go ahead and close out with a set-apart music since we've been talking about So we've been kind of touching on the Daughters of Zion. I think I'll go ahead and dedicate this song to the Daughters of Zion out there. So when we get ready to come back and talk about, discuss this subject or this topic, then... Okay, this is just kind of like a prelude to it, okay?
Get them warmed up.
Shalom, Elder.
All right. Shalom, Elder. And
right.
Catch you next week. All right.
Catch you next week. All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Shalom. All right. Shalom.